In their continued efforts to change the hearts and minds of those seeking abortions, the 40 Days for Life fall campaign is set to kick off in the area on September 22nd. While one clinic in Portland was recently closed, just as quickly a new one is opened, and organizers are inviting you to stand in vigil and pray with them. Joining me today to share more details are Therese Rusink and Sarah Livingston from 40 Days for Life campaign. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining the Morning Blend.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Sarah, first, I'd love to talk with you about this. How did you first become involved with the 40 Days for Life campaigns?
Sure, yeah. I've been a longtime pro-life advocate, kind of born into it from the Midwest, and I'm a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, and have followed the St. John Society, and a couple years ago really felt God calling me to organize a pro-life group there, and had the support of Father Ignacio and Danielle, our Works of Mercy coordinator, and our group has just really flourished. And as a result, one of the main activism events we have each year are the two different 40 Days for Life campaigns. So we really became involved in the spring and fall campaigns. And honestly, it was out of my comfort zone, I will tell you. Standing on the sidewalk, doing that, and but I really felt God calling me to do that, and I think ultimately I could no longer sit back and not take action on the fact that 2,432 preborn babies are killed in this country each day. 62 million babies have been killed since 1973 and millions of women's hearts broken from it. I really prayed on it. I've been an activist in the past in different environmental activism, et cetera. But I really feel that this is our greatest human rights violation of our time. And I think we're really living in a time where people are finally rejecting the lies that have been fed to them about abortion and are standing up for life. Abortion is at an all-time low since 1973, thank God. A woman does not need to kill her preborn baby to have a successful life. Motherhood is not the problem. Lack of support and valuing of motherhood and family are. And so we are really trying to, our number one goal with 40 Days for Life is to support the mothers and help try to save their preborn babies. And it's, in my opinion, it is such a beautiful organized campaign, and it's very effective. There's been so many saves. So that's how I got involved.
Well, Sarah, I love how you say that this was outside of your comfort zone, because we are always called to stand in the middle of that tension. And it's good to know that even through your discomfort, you will recognize the value of what is happening through these 40 Days for Life. We're so thankful for your work that you have done there at St. Michael's in organizing a pro-life group. Well, Therese, you have been a longtime supporter and stood in vigil with 40 Days for Life. Maybe share with our listeners, maybe somebody who is like Sarah, who's going, I need to step outside my comfort zone. When you see someone coming into one of these clinics, can you share about how you first begin an interaction with them?
Well, if it's a client, I will offer them a gift pack, which we have compiled, which we make them really pretty and really attractive, so they want to take them. And inside we offer brochures and all sorts of information about where they can get help and how they can choose another option of life. And so I just speak to them and ask them if they'll talk to me, or sometimes I can just hand them something. Or even if I can't do that, I'll just say to them, we're keeping you in prayer and we're here for you. We're here to help. If it's a passerby, and our mission here is going to be more speaking and more educational to people passing by, because it's downtown, it's in a big building, it's on the ninth floor of the 511 building downtown on 10th and Washington. And we have compiled a flyer about regarding what late-term abortion facilities are like. And Sue Pelletier really was great at making this flyer that talked about how unstandardized these clinics are and how there's not much oversight on them, and the continued ways that they are not kept clean. They're not up to standards of a surgery place. So we inform them about that. And if it's someone new coming in, you know, to pray, I just introduce them. I tell them, you know, we're here for a peaceful, prayerful community outreach. We're here to give out resources for women, both abortion-minded and post-abortive women, to offer healing information. And so, you know, I just try to quell their fears because it is fearful. I usually ask them how they decided to get dressed, look in the mirror and say, I'm going down to the abortion clinic because you don't just do that, you know?
Right.
And usually I get so many great stories when I ask people, you know, ask them that question. So.
Oh, and everybody does have a story. And I know that so many of these women coming in, nobody's told them anything different. And so it's wonderful to know that you all will be there for this year's 40 Days for Life campaign. Sarah, maybe can you share with me a little bit? You said this was a little bit outside your comfort zone. Do you remember what it was like the first time you kind of decided this was going to be the day that I was going to stand at 40 Days for Life? What did you feel like being out there on the sidewalk praying with others?
Absolutely. Yes, it was at Lovejoy Surgery Center, which thank God closed last January after being open for business for 50 years. They estimated that 100 to 150,000 babies were killed there. So that was a huge victory. And actually, on the last day I was there, I was like, I want to close this place down. But my first attendance there 2 years ago, again, out of my comfort zone, you know, really, each time you're on the sidewalk, it's a unique experience. You never know what someone's going to say. You can be as prepared as you try to be as prepared as possible. But I really think just talking to people, trying to have those conversations, being as open as possible, you know, we really do have more in common than not. You know, we're all humans. They're struggling. We have so many resources for women to help them. You know, we had a family recently, right before Lovejoy closed, but the reason they were there was because they were having another baby, which meant they would have to get a minivan and they couldn't afford it. It was that simple, which is just, you know, I mean, just the fact that they were going to have to upgrade a car and you know, the expenses going from 3 to 4 children. So we actually did a GoFundMe for them, and they ended up, you know, having this beautiful, they saved their baby. So again, just really the humanity of it, you know, just having those conversations, trying not to, you know, of course there's times when people will yell at you, trying to stay grounded, trying to be Christ-like. And you know, the more I've done it, the more I've realized, you know, to remain peaceful. You know, Teresa's been doing this for decades, and I really look up to her as a mentor on this. And I feel like the ones that have been doing this for a long time, they're not the ones who yell back and engage. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the cool cucumbers who stay there, remain their ground, they're peaceful. And if you want to have a conversation, we will. So I've really tried to learn from them and just whatever way we can help support the mothers, which we have a ton of resources, and just really trying to engage them.
Oh, and that's what makes 40 Days for Life so wonderful. It's not just about saving babies on the street, but it's also about walking with these young couples to ensure that in the days, months, and years, even beyond that decision, they are always finding resources available. Well, Therese and Sarah, I've enjoyed our conversation so much, and there's so much more I want to find out, especially about this year's campaign. I am coming up against my break, so please stay with me through the break, and we'll continue our conversation in the next half hour. I am continuing now my conversation with Sarah Livingston and Therese Rusink, both from 40 Days for Life. The fall campaign is getting ready to kick off on September 22nd, and they're joining me today to give you a little bit of insight and the details on this fall's campaign. Sarah and Therese, thank you so much for staying with me through the break.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Sarah, just before we ended our first segment, you began talking about the Lovejoy Surgery Center. Now, the closing of that center was cause for celebration, but quickly, another late-term abortion center opened. Can you tell our listeners about the Lilith Center?
Absolutely. Yes, Lilith Clinic, as they call themselves, which, you know, Lilith means demon, actually, is a late-term abortion facility that opened up in March 19th of this year that performs abortions through 22 weeks, which is 5.5 months pregnant, during the pregnancy. You know, one thing to really emphasize and make clear, Lilith's Clinic is not Lovejoy Surgery Center's replacement or reopening that closed this past January. Lovejoy closed from lack of business after being open for 50 years. We think there's been a little confusion on this from the press and the community, but Lilith is a completely new location, new mission, and they are owned by a different, completely different owner. It is Seattle-based late-term abortionist Dr. Charlie Brown. He also owns a later-term even abortion facility in Seattle called All Women's Care, where late-term abortions are performed through 26 weeks, which is 6.5 months pregnant. You know, one very disturbing thing about, well, there's many disturbing things, obviously, about Lilith Clinic and his other late-term abortion facility in Seattle, but on their website of Lilith, they promote their concierge service on their website, where for an extra cost, they will arrange air or ground travel to Portland, car service to and from their abortion facility, and hotel accommodations. They also offer private appointments where a client can reserve their entire abortion facility, and this is a quote, have an exclusively private experience, as they write on their website. You know, they are really trying to promote women coming in nationally here to Portland for their late-term abortions. So, you know, and you know, that really, many people, that does not sit well with many people. Even my pro-choice friends and peers, when I tell them about late-term abortion or this, it turns their stomachs. You know, do we want Portland to be a destination hub, our downtown Portland, for women coming all over nationally to have late-term abortions? And the reason he's doing this, And he did an OPB interview in April, the late-term abortionist, Dr. Charlie Brown, and he said opening Lilith was in direct response to Lovejoy's closure. It was an expansion of his business. And, you know, the Oregon laws, unfortunately, Oregon state abortion laws, abortion is legal until the minute of birth for any reason. And there are absolutely no state restrictions here. In fact, in 2017, Governor Kate Brown signed the Reproductive Health Equity Bill, which forces Oregon insurance companies to cover abortions with no out-of-pocket costs and makes abortions free for those under a certain income as well as immigrants. So again, it's really, they're trying to make it a destination hub. He claims in Seattle at his later term abortion facility there that women come from internationally. So, you know, I just think this rubs people who are even pro-choice wrong. This is not helping our local community, and we've already had such a rough time the last 2 years in downtown Portland. Do we want to add this chaos, this culture of death right in the center of our beloved downtown Portland? The answer is no, I think, pretty much across the board. You know, the Ritz-Carlton is being built across the street, which will be Portland's most luxurious hotel, and the entrance is literally right across the street from, you know, Portland's now late-term abortion facility, which obviously is not going to be good for business. It's protesters and counter-protesters. It's going to keep growing. You know, and it's not good for business for them or for any of the tenants in the building at the 511 building or other nearby businesses. So I just think getting the word out, especially that it's a late-term abortion facility, that it's not just, it's about helping Portland's community. It's bringing women in, flying them in. And, you know, I don't think that sits well with a lot of people.
Therese Rusink and Sarah Livingston are joining me today. They are both part of the 40 Days for Life fall campaign. It's getting ready to start on September 22nd, and they're joining us to give us more details. Well, Therese, with the opening of this new clinic, and it's going to be one of the focal points of this year's campaign, kind of tell us a little bit about how 40 Days for Life is looking at this year's campaign and really making sure they have an effect to be able to help those in need and to change hearts and minds.
We are going to hand out flyers to passersby, and we're going to really do an educational push here because we probably won't see as many clients going in as we will see passersby. And we've already had many good conversations with people. People, we do this year round, and we know that some people are very in favor of Lilith and others are not. Even the surrounding businesses, which we contacted before they opened and when they first opened, there's at least one Catholic business that does not like the idea of having that in their town. And some people don't even believe us when we tell them that it's there or that abortion is legal until birth in Oregon. So we want to take a real educational stance here. And another thing we're doing is we're going to try to use technology to do surveys, with just very low key, very open, very, you know, we want to ask questions that are that don't rouse their defenses and put them on the offense from the beginning, and just do surveys after showing them a short video. So that's one of the tacks we're going to take, but also just really encouraging people to come and pray. That is so important, because we know from Abby Johnson, who used to be an abortion worker, that on surgical abortion day, when there's people out there praying, there's as high as a 75% no-show rate because people are there, and that some people are looking for a sign, so the presence of people and the prayer is what does everything. So when you come and pray, you don't have to be a major counselor or someone offering information, even just being there as a presence and praying is just super important.
Oh, and prayer indeed, to touch the hearts and minds. It is going to be a wonderful campaign this year. Sarah, as I've said, it begins on September 22nd. Can you share some of the details of events happening leading up to the campaign?
Absolutely. We have our opening mass Sunday, September 12th at 11 a.m. with the wonderful Archbishop Alexander Sample at St. Mary's Cathedral. And also a special thank you to the Archdiocese of Portland and Archbishop Sample for sponsoring our 40 Days for Life. He's always been so supportive. And then our opening rally is Saturday, September 18th at 2 p.m. And that will be at Holy Rosary Church in their Aquinas Hall. And then the vigil, as you said, starts September 22nd to October 31st. And it's Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. So the only Sundays they are closed. We will not be there on Sundays.
And I'm sure people, if they went to the website, would be able to find all of the locations there in downtown Portland where the Lilith Clinic is. There's also campaigns in other areas around. I, of course, also down south and north into Vancouver. Therese, for many reasons, some may not be able to stand with you at these sites. Are there ways that they can still be involved and be a part of the campaign?
Yes, they can pray off-site and even offer up sacrifices and fasting and prayer for us. And you can even adopt get a prayer partner, like someone you know that's going down there and you know when they're going. So say they're going Tuesday from 10 to 11. You could be praying for them right while they're there, or all of us right while we're there. So that's a way. We also have this sheet called the 40-Day Challenge, which I haven't resurrected it yet, but it's possible that we could put that on the website, the Portland 40 Days for Life website, and that lists all sorts of things, ways that you can participate in the 40 days if you aren't able to physically go there.
Oh, perfect. And then, Therese, before we go, can you give us the website where they can find all of the details for the fall campaign?
Yes, it is www.4040daysforlife.com/Portland.
Fantastic. Well, I encourage all of our listeners to definitely go to that webpage, find all of the resources, and sign up for a time when you can become part of this campaign. Therese and Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. As the campaign ends, will you come back and join us and give us a little bit of an update about how this year's campaign went?
Absolutely.
Oh, we look forward.
We'd love to do that.
We look forward to that. And again, that is Therese Rusink and Sarah Livingston. They are part of the 40 Days for Life campaign, the fall campaign kicking off September 22nd. I will be sure to add a link to where you can get right to the Portland details page for 40 Days for Life. You'll find that link on the podcast of this interview at materdayradio.com.